with it, then I would happily iron it out with him. After all, I owed him a conversation after what he'd done to Graham by only sending him half a file. Sitting in the prison's main visiting area, I waited for them to escort Jessica out. She wouldn't really be escorted anywhere. The system was all electric to cut down on the number of fatalities associated with holding preternatural killers who really didn't believe in a prison system or justice in general. A loud buzz echoed in the room and I jumped, a green light flashing over a door inside the clear box Jessica was supposed to sit in. She shuffled out through the door, her ankles and wrists bound with silver chains, one of the few weapons we had against her kind. The second her eyes found mine, she stiffened up, her pupils dilating until they filled her iris completely. It never ceased to amaze me how the vamps worked their little mind control tricks. Of course, in here she was given a daily shot to neutralize her mind control ability. It was something that really only worked on the newer vampires, and Jessica was definitely a baby in comparison to who her boyfriend had been. She launched herself across the space, slamming her body into the bomb-proof glass with the same force as a runaway freight train. She hissed and growled, her fangs fully extended as she scrabbled against the thin piece of protection between me and her.
"Why are you here?"
She spat the words out, her eyes completely black as she fought to claw her way out of the box. "Your father wanted me to come and talk to you. He wants me to help you," I said. Honesty seemed like the best policy where Jessica was concerned.
"You don't want to. You're only here out of guilt. What did he say to you this time to jerk your chain?"
Scorn dripped from her words like acid, and I found myself shifting uncomfortably on the metal chair I'd been given. "Jessica, there's something I need to tell you."
"I don't want to know anything you have to tell me. You killed Zack, and when I get out of here, I'm gonna rip your throat out."
"Your father's in the hospital. There was an accident. He's pretty bad." I couldn't bring myself to say the words, "He's on a ventilator." If I did, it would make it all too real, and I wasn't in the mood for that.
"Do you think I care? That bastard is nothing but a thorn in my side. I hope he dies. I hope you all do. And when Lily recovers..."
Jessica cut herself off and screamed in frustration.
"You tricked me! How dare you trick me!"
"Jessica, I didn't do anything to you. What do you mean when Lily recovers?" She laughed, the sound like nails on a chalkboard, and she shook her head, causing her ponytail to whip around her shoulders.
"I'm not telling you anything except this. Your sister says hi. Round two is coming, and this time no demon is gonna save your sorry ass."
I straightened up in the seat, leaning forward so my arms rested on my thighs. "Tell me what else you know about her. How badly was she hurt?" Jessica laughed again and pulled back away from the glass.
"Jessica, tell me everything you know. I can help you. I can speak to them about your execution."
She shook her head and moved back to the heavy, reinforced steel door she'd entered through. I watched as she slammed her hands on it, the silver chains she wore sizzling and smoking as they bit into her flesh, and yet she showed no signs of pain.
"I have just one regret in all of this,"
she said as the door alarm buzzed and the steel started to shuffle open.
"What's that?" "I didn't cause enough pain. If I could do everything over, I'd kill more."
She stepped out through the door, leaving me to stare after her with my mouth hanging open. I'd met plenty of vampires, but none who had so little remorse. Graham still loved her, and he wanted me to help her, but after meeting her, there was really nothing I could do. Nothing I wanted to do, considering the pain she'd caused. Chapter 14. Tightening the wraps on my hands, I adjusted my stance in front of the heavy bag and restarted my routine. It was the only thing I could do to try and clear my mind of the angry hatred I'd witnessed in Jessica. Foot forward, twist hip, extend arm, imagine your fist exiting out through your opponent's head. Rolling my shoulders, I switched sides and started again, gradually picking up my pace. It was easier to fight in the moment. There was something to be said about adrenaline coursing in the veins, heart pounding, fighting for your life, to make the routine effortless. Standing in front of the bag, I had to remind myself over and over what my next move was supposed to be.
"You!"
The female voice cut across my concentration, and I turned in time to brace my body as a petite, dark-haired woman crashed into me, taking us both to the mat.
You fucked up and now he's dead! Why couldn't you just do your job? Why?
The emotion in her voice wasn't something that could be faked. She rained blows down on my head, my arms and hands taking the brunt of her punches. Wrapping my legs around her waist, I tipped her to the side, driving her body into the mat beneath me as I attempted to pin her, but she had pure, unadulterated rage on her side, and she drove her legs up between us, planting her feet in the middle of my abdomen before thrusting back with all of her might. I tried to break my fall, but my back met the edge of the mat and I cried out as my head slammed into the floor. She was on me before I could even recover, her tear-streaked face a blur above me as she landed her first good punch, the coppery taste of blood filling my mouth. Someone appeared above her, lifting her away from me before she could land her next blow. She lashed out, her legs flailing in an attempt to hurt me by any means necessary.
"Sonia, cut it out,"
Anthony said, his strong frame wrapped around her, holding her back as I climbed slowly to my feet. "What was that about?" I said, dragging my hand across my mouth, smearing blood across the back of my fist and the white wraps I wore.
"She's the reason he's dead, Anthony! You know it! Let me go!"
Sonia cried as she continued to fight and kick in his grip, but I could tell her movements were getting slower. The longer he held her, the more the rage seemed to seep out of her, and what was left behind in her expression created a hollow feeling in the middle of my gut.
He was doing his job, you know that. It's the same risk we all take.
Anthony's voice was soothing, as though he was talking to a volatile child that needed calming. She jerked out of his grip and turned her fading temper on him.
That's bullshit and you know it. You're just protecting her because she saved your ass when you screwed up.
So Amber is supposed to save us all when we make a mistake? I don't think that's fair.
Sonia shook her head, her short brown hair whipping around her face, and the look she shot Anthony was anything but friendly.
You were his friend. I can't believe you would betray him like this. This is her doing, and if you're not going to do something about it, then I will.
She turned and gave me a look that made me want to duck and take cover. But she didn't make a move on me, choosing instead to stalk from the gym, leaving me to stare after her. I had no idea she was involved with Officer Myrtle, I said, watching her leave.
There's a lot you don't know about the people you work with, Amber. You keep to yourself, but we're supposed to work as a team. More often than not, I see you rushing in on your own, and you've been lucky. Until Steve.
Anthony spoke as though I'd murdered Steven and not the shifter. It's not like that,
That's your problem, Amber. There is no I in team, and the sooner you realize that, the safer it will be for the rest of us.
Anthony shook his head and turned back to the small group that had gathered around him. I stood and watched them talk amongst themselves, anger bubbling in my veins. What was I supposed to do? This was a job at the end of the day, and most of the other team members looked at me like I was some sort of upstart. I hadn't paid my dues, not the way they had. I was too new, and yet I was the one the media wanted to talk to. Swallowing back my anger, I crushed it down inside. Allowing such destructive thoughts to fill my head was only going to result in one thing, and I didn't want to become that person. The one that everyone despised and no one wanted to work with because they were too reckless, endangering the lives of everyone around them. But I sure as heck wasn't going to grovel to Anthony for his approval. Sonia's anger toward me was justified. She'd lost the man she loved. Anthony hadn't even been there, so why he thought he could scold me like a naughty schoolchild, well, I had no idea where he'd gotten the attitude from. Grabbing my towel and water bottle, I stalked out of the gym and down the corridor towards the changing room.
Amber, my office, now!
John's voice made me jump. I'd been so lost in my own bitter thoughts that I hadn't realized he'd stepped out into the hall. I was just,
my office, now, I don't have time for your bullshit, he said,
his voice frayed with anger. Turning, I stalked after him. The day had barely started, but it really couldn't get any worse. Chapter 15. I was wrong. The day could get a whole lot worse, and it had.
Victoria Tellen is a very talented elite member. She has just flown in from New York, and I want you to show her the ropes,
John said, overly animated. In fact, if I didn't know him better, I'd have said he was doing lines of coke in the bathroom before he'd found me in the hall. No offense, Victoria, I said to her. She smiled at me, but there was no warmth behind it. But I'm really not looking for a new partner, John. I have one.
You don't. With Graham in the hospital, you've got no one, and I can't allow you out in the public eye. He cut himself off and pushed his hand back over his head. Out facing the dangers that you do without some sort of backup. Victoria is extremely skilled. She can probably teach you a thing or two. I didn't doubt it. Her resume had been the first thing thrust into my hands the second I walked through the door of his office. From what I'd seen of it, she was more than proficient as an elite member, and if I was honest, I would probably hold her back. She seemed more the type to be a member of Anthony's cleanup crew. Efficient and deadly. John, Graham is coming back. John shook his head and dropped his attention down onto the desk in front of him.
We both know that's not guaranteed. They don't even know if he's gonna pull through.
And whose fault is that? I said, finally losing my temper. Graham was my partner, the only one I wanted, and certainly the only one who understood who I was. I really wasn't interested in starting all over with someone new, and I definitely wasn't in the mood for entertaining the idea that Graham might not survive. He had to. There was no other choice in the matter.
What's that supposed to mean?
He asked, his register taking on an icy tone. I know you only sent him half the case file. He told me before everything turned to shit, I said, practically spitting the words at him.
I have no idea what you're talking about, John said, but I could tell from his nervous expression that he knew exactly what I meant.
Don't give me your usual bullshit, I said.
This is not the time or the place, Amber, John said, inclining his head in Victoria's direction.
Can we get a few minutes? I asked, smiling sweetly in her direction.
Actually, I was hoping we could get straight into it. I was filled in on the case before I got here. This doesn't seem like something that can wait for personal vendettas.
There was an edge to her voice, and anger bubbled in my veins, spiking my blood pressure and causing the beginnings of a headache to take up residence between my eyes. Opening my mouth to answer, I caught myself. She'd flown in from New York, but why the hell would the elite send someone as talented as her to King City? Our preternatural issues certainly couldn't compete with New York City and its surrounding areas. None of it made any sense, unless she was sent with the express purpose of spying on me. Biting back my words, I nodded as John planted his hand in the center of my back and began pushing me towards the door.
You'll be pleased to know Victoria is also very skilled in dealing with the media. You'll both be doing an interview later in the morning.
The thought of doing an interview sent bile creeping up the back of my throat. I hated getting trotted out as the media circus's prized performer, and their questions would be unbearable if they were anything like the barrage I'd gotten outside the hospital yesterday. I didn't answer John as I stepped out through the door and shrugged free of his vile touch.
You don't hold much regard for your boss,
Victoria said as I wound my way down through the desks in the office. It wasn't a question, and the statement only served to heighten my suspicion of her. If she was here from the New York office to spy, then I needed to find out her reasons. General subordination I could handle. It certainly wouldn't take much to get out from underneath it. I'd just have to find a better way to make John pay for his misdeeds. But if she was here because they suspected me of something, that was going to be much harder to deal with. I had secrets. How was I supposed to keep the important ones hidden from someone like her? If she was working in New York, then she was probably practically a human bloodhound, scenting out the truth no matter how difficult the puzzle. If you knew the things I know, you wouldn't have much regard for him either, I said, reaching my desk and dropping down into the generic swivel chair they'd supplied everyone in the office. Nothing in the office was comfortable. It was all simply serviceable, and it seemed that was how the elite liked to keep it.
What do you know about him?
Victoria asked, almost lightheartedly, and instantly her new approach set my suspicions on edge. Giving her the side eye, I dug around in the files on my desk until I found what I was looking for. Tugging it free, I dropped it down in front of her, the card folder flopping open to the first crime scene picture. I'm not interested in tattling. Whatever problem I have with John, it's gonna stay just that, my problem. I kept my voice hard as I tried to avoid looking directly at the pictures. I'd lived through them, and they were seared into the inside of my brain. The last thing I needed to do was study them. She stared at me a moment longer than was needed, and instinctively I knew she was sizing me up. She was still utterly unreadable, and I really couldn't figure out who she was here for. All that served to do was set me even further on edge. A partner was supposed to be someone you could trust in the field, and I'd been so certain I'd found that in Graham. Just thinking about him brought a lump to the back of my throat, making it difficult to swallow past.
Trust me when I say I'm here to help, Amber. You don't have to lock me out, and if you're protecting someone's secret, well, I won't hesitate to dig it out.
I nodded and jabbed my finger into the center of the pictures. How about you dig this secret out instead? She smiled back at me, but it wasn't a friendly look. Clearly, I'd already made myself a new enemy, like I really needed any more. Dropping her gaze to the pictures, her expression instantly changed. A small crease appeared in the center of her brow as she tucked her black hair behind her ear and leaned closer.
I've seen something like this, she said, and my stomach flipped nervously.
King City wasn't small, but it still wasn't New York. How could we have something so unusual in common? What was it?
I don't know.
She shrugged and lifted her gaze to my face.
They never got to the bottom of it, but for a while, the body count was pretty damn high.
Well, how did you stop it?
I don't think we did. By the looks of it, whatever's going on just moved here.
Great, I said, dropping my face into my hands and scrubbing them back through my hair. I was still wearing my gym clothes, and in comparison to Victoria, I looked a mess. There was no way I could go out and represent the elite looking like I crawled out of a barroom brawl.
So where do you hit first? She asked, keeping her tone as neutral as possible.
I contemplated heading over to Sanctuary to find out if Madeline had heard anything, but that would only be inviting trouble. If Madeline let slip what I was, then it was game over. There's a place downtown. I was going to swing by after the gym, but I was called in to meet you instead. Swallowing back my anger, I fought to keep my voice pleasant. The guy who runs it knows some stuff about the preternatural occult.
You think it's a cult?
Victoria asked, cocking an eyebrow in my direction. Don't you? She smiled then, a hint of the true Victoria peeking out through the curl in her lips.
Sorry, I'm just so used to questioning everything. It's been a while since I worked with someone.
Her words intrigued me, and I contemplated asking her what she meant, but it didn't seem like the right time. She was probably the type that if I jumped on everything she said would just clam up and I'd never get anything from her. Right, I'll get cleaned up and then we can head on over there, I said, hopping up from my position at the desk.
Can I look over the file?
She asked, and I nodded, letting her take over my seat behind the desk as I headed for the locker rooms once more. Chapter 16. Standing outside the elite offices, I waited for Victoria to bring her car round from the parking garage. If I'd been going on my own, I'd have walked downtown. Enzo's wasn't that far, and the fresh air would have given me the chance to clear my head, but when I'd suggested it to Victoria, her reaction had been less than enthusiastic. A shiny black SUV pulled up to the curb. The tinted passenger window hummed softly as it slid down, and Victoria peered out at me from behind the steering wheel.
Are you going to stand there all day, or are you getting in? She asked.
I didn't answer her and climbed in. It was a world away from Graham's trash can on wheels. I'd never been able to get into his car without first clearing the seats and digging out some foot room for myself in the debris on the floor. Settling in, I buckled up as Victoria fed the address into the GPS and pulled out from the curb. The air conditioning blew cold air up into my face, causing my still damp hair to stick to my neck and send a shiver down my spine.
You cold?
She asked, casting a curious glance in my direction as she maneuvered in and out of the morning traffic. Nah, just didn't have the time to dry my hair, I said, gesturing to my high ponytail. She nodded thoughtfully and returned her attention to the road ahead, but there was a tension in the car that told me she had questions she wanted to ask me. Questions to which I would either not have the answers she wanted, or have answers I didn't want to share.
Look, I'm not trying to take the place of your old partner,
she said, shooting another glance in my direction as she zipped through a particularly tight corner. Sucking in a deep breath, I dug my fingers into the edge of the seat. If there was one thing I hated, it was close encounters in cars. It was the whole out-of-control thing that really got to me.
How long were you two working together?
Only a couple of months. Well, weeks, really. I spent time in the office being the general dog's body before I got out into the field. Laughing, she spun the wheel, taking us down a small side street.
I know what that's like. There's something about this job that makes all the guys think the women should stay in the office.
You get that too? I asked, unable to keep my surprise to myself.
It was probably naive, but I'd always imagined New York to be far more sophisticated and void of the same issues we suffered from here.
God, yes, maybe even more. All the guys in the New York office are really macho, constantly showing off to each other and always getting into fights. It's part of the facade they have, and every single one of the women in the office, as far as they're concerned, are fair game.
I can't see that going down too well with you, I said with a small smile.
I gave them fair warning. If they refused to take notice, then I did what needed to be done. I'm no man's plaything, and I'm certainly not going to put up with any sexist bullshit.
I hid my smile. She was an outsider, and there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell that I could trust her. Yet, anyway. But I couldn't fault her attitude. The elite seemed to attract more of the jerks than any other profession, and the women had to work 10 times harder just to get by. It wasn't fair, but it was the way of the world. To meet another woman with the same attitude that I had, well, it was certainly a breath of fresh air. And part of me wanted to know what would happen if John attempted any of his usual bullshit tactics with her. I had a feeling it would end with him sobbing, and I really wanted to be around to see that. It's just in there on the left, I said, pointing out the small spice shop on the corner. She nodded and jerked the wheel, cramming the car into a space that I would have thought was way too small. She inched us in and I cringed inwardly. Any second now there was going to be the screaming sound of metal and the telltale crunch as it...
Done,
she said, killing the engine and sliding the keys from the ignition. Opening my eyes properly, I stared at her in surprise. She had no magic, and yet as far as I was concerned, she just performed some sort of weird black magic to get the SUV into the tiny space right outside Enzo's. Climbing from the car, I slammed the door after me and started for the front door. Before I even hit the sidewalk, Victoria caught my arm and tugged me back next to her.
You need to tell me what we're walking into here. I don't want any surprises, she said, her voice hushed as though there might be someone other than me listening.
Well, we're walking into that shop over there, and we're going to ask him if he has any information on what might be in King City. I thought that was pretty clear, I said, deliberately emphasizing my words.
What is he?
She asked, her bluntness catching me by surprise. Enzo? I said, raising my eyebrows in her direction.
Whatever his name is.
Her dismissive tone rubbed me the wrong way and set a nervous curl of concern winding its way up through my stomach. He's a psychic, or at least that's what he says he is. I've yet to get the lotto numbers from him, but if anyone is going to know where to start in King City, it's him. I deliberately left Madeline's name out of it. The less Victoria knew about my contacts, the better, at least until I was more sure of her intentions.
Not dangerous, then, she said,
more to herself than to me. Don't be fooled by him. Enzo is plenty dangerous if he needs to be. Victoria grinned at me and shook her head.
Sure he is, she said,
leaving me to stare after her as she stalked towards the shop. If she was going to walk into Enzo's shop with that attitude, then she was in for a rather nasty surprise. But none of that was my problem, and I wasn't going to get in the way of her finding out the truth, not for love nor money. I caught up to her as she pushed open the door to the small spice shop. It wasn't really a spice shop, more a place where someone looking for any kind of remedy or ingredient might come to find it. Most of the elite used the store for tips on the preternatural community, and then there was, of course, the supplies. The gloop the rest of the elite needed to use in order to walk a scene didn't come cheap, and Enzo was the only one in the city with the connections needed to get the ingredients. I knew Enzo for a completely different reason. He'd been the one to look out for me when I'd gotten to King City originally. His bond with my mother made him the perfect candidate. And even though I'd always suspected he knew more than he was telling me, he still hadn't shared his secrets. The bell over the door chimed once, and then again as I stepped into the gloomy shop, the smell of polished wood and the pungent scent of ginger and cayenne pepper instantly overwhelming my senses. I could taste it on the back of my tongue, and it instantly transported me back to the crime scene. The smells themselves weren't actually the same, but they certainly provided the same obliteration of my senses.
Ladies, how can I be of... Amber?
Enzo's familiar tone welcomed me, and I couldn't help but smile as he appeared out from behind the counter. His small stature forced me to bend at the waist to accept the bear hug he insisted on wrapping me in. It had always been like this. Enzo liked contact, obviously connected to his power, but I'd never questioned him on it too closely. There was something unnerving about knowing the future, and I didn't want to know what mine held.
Or at least I'd always believed I didn't. Now I wasn't so sure.
Child, how long has it been?
I opened my mouth to speak, but he cut across me.
Too long, that's how long. Come in and take a seat.
He started to drag me towards the back of the shop when I dug my heels in, causing him to come up short. The look he shot me was one filled with knowing and fear, my stomach churning in response.
Actually, we don't have time for that, Victoria cut in. We're here on a case, and—
You want to ask me some questions?
Enzo said, his expression growing blank.
If you have a few minutes, yes, we—
I know nothing,
he said with a dismissive wave of his hand.
Don't be like that. You haven't even given me the chance to ask you anything yet,
Victoria said, the edge of her voice betraying the beginnings of her anger.
I don't need you to. I'm a psychic. I already know what you will ask me before you ask it. It's one of the perks of the job.
Amber, how's your mother?
Enzo's change in conversation topic surprised me, and I jerked slightly in his grip, but it remained unchanged.
Listen, this is not how you want to start this conversation, Victoria said. Unless you want to trip back to the elite, you better start spilling what it is that you know. Or are you telling me that your psychic gifts aren't to be trusted?
Enzo drew himself upright, releasing the hold he had on my hand as he moved. Despite the fact that he was at least half a foot shorter than Victoria, he still managed to look far more intimidating than she ever could.
You come into my shop and threaten me? You really have no idea who you're dealing with.
Enzo's pupils dilated before the iris slid up into the back of his head, the white of his eyeball and the zigzag of blood vessels the only thing left visible. His hand whipped out lightning fast, and he caught Victoria's arm in his considerable grip, holding her in place. Her aggressive mask slipped, revealing the fear she felt as he shared his vision of her future with her.
Your ways will not lead you to the happiness you seek. Betraying those close to you will be your end,
he said. His voice had taken on a strange hollow ring, and I covered my ears, but it was no use. It seemed to seep into my bones, spreading an impending sense of dread in every corner of my body it touched. Victoria fought against him, but he didn't release her. I'd seen it happen before. Once he latched on, it was as though he fused with their bodies, and I'd watched creatures attempt to hack off their own limb in an attempt to escape what he was doing to them. Blood dripped from Victoria's nose, her eyes growing bloodshot, and still Enzo shared the truth with her. She cried out, a strangled sob that spoke of pain and desperation.
Enzo, enough, let her go, I said, grabbing his shoulder.
It was a stupid move and one I instantly regretted. He released the hold he had on Victoria, his power switching seamlessly from her to me, and I tried to shake him free, but it was an empty gesture. Images flashed through my head faster than I could follow them, but I was left with the overall impression of violence and despair, hurt and anger, pain and death. The demon mark on my shoulder pulsed, and I dragged my nails into Enzo's arm. The part of me that was still lucid half expected my nails to extend into claws, but they didn't. It pulsed again, power surging upwards through my body, pouring into my veins and pushing back against the onslaught of emotion that Enzo was unloading into my head. I didn't want to know my future. It wasn't written in stone, and no matter what happened, I would always make my own choices in this life. I felt the warm trickle of blood from my nose, but the pain from Enzo's visions was starting to subside. I could feel him scrambling for purchase inside my mind, his hold on me slipping out from underneath him, and still I pushed back harder with my own power, taking back my mind from the grip he'd sunk into it.
So much pain,
he whispered. His voice hoarse as though he'd been screaming, but if he had, I hadn't heard him.
Enough, I gritted out from between my teeth, giving one last surge that sent him tumbling back away from me.
I wavered on my feet as my heartbeat roared in my ears.
What in the name of God was that? Victoria said, jerking me back to reality.
That, I said, was Enzo's gift. I could still practically feel his power rifling through my brain, but he wasn't there anymore. Instead, he sat on the floor next to his counter, looking up at me with a too wide-eyed stare. Are you all right? I asked, crouching down next to him, but he cringed away from me as though I'd burned him.
Amber, I had no idea.
He started to speak and then caught himself, his gaze automatically darting up to Victoria. I could feel her standing behind me, her presence like ice against my back. Did she feel like that because of what Enzo had done to her, or because of what he'd done to me?
I should arrest you for that, she spluttered, and I glanced over my shoulder and watched her sag against the wall.
Her face was pale, too pale, and I couldn't help but wonder if she was going to pass out on me.
But you won't. You came into my business seeking news on something I couldn't tell you about.
You attacked me with magic, she said, the strength returning to her voice.
No, I showed you the future,
Enzo said matter-of-factly.
But there is something I can give you, something I gleaned from Amber.
He cut off when I gave him a warning look.
What is it?
Victoria asked, suddenly eager. Enzo pushed unsteadily to his feet and gripped the counter in a white-knuckled grip.
The one you're seeking has done this before. He's using a combination of magics, and he will strike again.
What do you mean by a combination? I asked, searching Enzo's face for answers.
He has a blade. I can't tell you where it comes from, but he's using it to focus what he's doing. Before this, he was a student of many dark arts, not particularly proficient, but now...
But now he has the blade, and proficiency suddenly doesn't matter, I said, finishing his thought for him.
Exactly. I'm not sure what he's trying to do, but these spirits come in pairs, and this pair was a failure.
But they are spirits, I asked.
Unlike anything I've ever seen. They're not evil, but they also do not care for human life, and their time in the place between has warped them beyond recognition,
Enzo said, leaning a little more heavily against the counter.
Amber, you must be careful. He's drawn to you.
I shook my head and nervously scrubbed my hand against the leg of my jeans. I don't think so.
Why would he be drawn to Amber?
Victoria blurted out, asking the question plaguing my own mind, but it was one I didn't have the guts to ask.
Perhaps because she is beautiful,
Enzo said with a wide smile, but it was his theatrical fake smile, the one he wore when he was done giving answers. There were bags beneath his eyes that hadn't been there when we'd first arrived. I'd only ever seen him like that when he'd done a particularly large party, but I'd never asked him just how much using his gift took out of him. It had never seemed important before. His shoulders drooped, and I reached out to steady him, but he took a stumbling step away.
Don't, I'll be fine. Go and speak to Hedu. He practices in the church on Maxon Corner.
Who is he? I asked, searching Enzo's face for answers.
Well, you'd know him as King City's most powerful voodoo priest. Tell him I sent you or he won't speak to you,
Enzo said, a small smile playing around his lips.
He owes me a favor.
A voodoo priest, are you for real? Victoria asked, grabbing my arm and spinning me around to face her.
I thought you said this guy was good. If I'd known he was going to point us in the direction of that kind of crap, I wouldn't have bothered coming. It's not, as you put it, crap. But if that helps you sleep at night, Victoria,
Enzo said, cutting across her words.
Yeah, it is. Everyone knows there aren't any more practitioners, at least not in the true sense. The elite outlawed the use of that kind of power, along with shadow sorcerers.
Her words sent a shiver down my spine, and I fought to control my expression. I couldn't allow her casual announcements to betray me now, not when I'd come so far. Enzo laughed and shook his head.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't understand your case better than you do. As long as you're a good little girl, he won't have any need to invoke the Loa to deal with you,
Enzo said with a smirk. Victoria grumbled and spun on her heel, stalking out of the small shop and allowing the door to slam behind her. Did you really have to tell her that? I said with a sigh.
It's better if you don't come back here, Amber,
Enzo said, his words catching me by surprise. I turned to face him. Excuse me?
You heard me. Now, out of respect to your mother, I won't bar you, but if you darken my door again, I'll be left with no choice but to ward against you.
His voice was cold, and his words cut me to the core. Without answering him, I nodded and left. I'd seen it in his eyes, the distrust and fear. He'd been an ally, a friend, someone I could trust, but all of that was gone. Whatever he'd seen in my future had been enough to destroy a relationship that was as close as a family bond. Whatever he'd seen, I really didn't want to know what it was. Chapter 17.
You can't seriously be considering doing as he asked, Victoria said, surprising me outside the door to Enzo's shop.
Why not? Have you got any better ideas?
Yes, not falling for his crazy shit, for starters. Shouldn't we head down to the morgue and see what the lab has come up with? They have to have figured something out from that woman's body by now.
They don't even have an ID yet. What makes you think they'll have anything else?
I asked, an image of the woman's eyes and mouth stitched shut popping into my head. Can't we try? Even you have to agree that going to meet up with some crazy pretend voodoo priest is bogus.
I didn't argue with her. The thought of going to see a voodoo priest gave me the willies, but it made me even more nervous to think I might go and see him with her in tow. Nick, on the other hand, would make a far better partner when investigating the weird crap, and I'd heard some seriously weird stories about voodoo. As far as I was concerned, it was something I never wanted to get tangled in. We got back into the car.
Fine, morgue it is. Maybe if I get a chance, I can swing by and find out how Graham is doing. Aren't we doing a press conference or something? I don't think you'll have time, she said, starting the engine.
Facing Hadou suddenly seemed like a much better idea. Showing Victoria that I was a shadow sorceress was a better idea. I already knew the types of questions the reporters would ask, and what was I supposed to tell them? It wasn't as though we had any real answers or information we could share with them.
You can't really be that bothered by the thought of a press conference. In New York, they were practically a daily occurrence.
Her tone was snotty and superior. Good for New York, I said, the exasperation in my voice unmasked, but I cut myself off before I could really share with her what I was thinking. Telling her to go back to New York was one of those things that were better off unsaid. And anyway, enacting it in my head was so much more fun. We traveled in silence until she finally looked over at me, a sheepish expression on her face.
I don't actually know where I'm going.
A grin crept across my face, and I started to laugh. The entire situation was beyond ridiculous. Something had happened to freak Enzo out, a man I'd always believed to be utterly unflappable, and I was traveling around town with an officer from the New York Elite Office who had no idea where anything was in King City. How are we going to get anything solved when everything we'd come across so far seemed to point in the direction of us never figuring anything out? I gave her a quick rundown of where we were headed before I returned my attention to the streets. Everyone looked happy and normal. To look at them, you would never know that there was something horrible going on. It was one of the many strengths of being human, the ability to compartmentalize and pretend everything was as it should be.
What did he show you?
Victoria asked quietly, as though afraid of the answer. Just a lot of jumbled images, I don't really know. You? I turned in my seat to face her and I could see the color drain from her face.
The same.
There was a hitch in her words. She was lying. But what could have been so awful that she felt the need to lie about it? Whatever it was, she wasn't going to share it with me. She turned the car into the underground parking garage of the medical examiner's office and killed the engine. I didn't hold much hope that they'd have found anything as I climbed from the car and waited for her to click the automatic lock. All I could hope was that whatever was inside the female body, they'd dealt with it properly and quarantined it appropriately. If they didn't, well, I didn't exactly fancy a repeat of what had gone on with Graham. I blinked back my tears as an image of him, unmoving and silent, popped into my head. And John's words replayed in my head. He had to make it through, and when he did, then he would come back to work. I refused to believe anything else.
Her name is Marcy Colt. She broke her leg when she was 10, a severe break that required extensive surgeries, a plate, and several screws. We got her name from the serial number on the plate.
Callum droned, his tone bored as he read from the clipboard he held in his hands. So what about everything else? I asked, moving slowly around the shiny, sterile office.
The consultant was able to move the issue on without incidents.
It all sounded so safe, so cold and clinical. Callum Sidney was the best medical examiner King City had to offer, but that didn't mean I had to like him. He spoke about Marcy as though she was nothing more than an inconvenience, just another body cluttering up his perfectly pristine lab.
Is he still here?
Victoria asked.
Mr. Zek is filling out his report,
Callum said. Is there anything else you can tell us? I asked, picking up a wickedly sharp blade from a small tray in the center of the room. Callum rushed towards me and snatched it from my hand.
Please don't touch anything. This is a sterile environment. Everything you touch must be re-sterilized.
He set the blade to one side and then gestured for us to follow him through to another room off the main lab. There was a long metal table set up in the middle of the room, and the white sheet over the top of it told me Marcy lay beneath it without Callum ever having to open his mouth. When he whipped back the sheet, I tried to look at her the way a detective might. The more emotion I allowed into it, all the harder it would be for me to divorce myself from my personal connection and what I needed to do. As it was, I still had nightmares about Joanna Sidwell and her children, their faces pleading with me as vampires fed on their insides. The last thing I needed was to add Marcy Colt to the list.
We found a strange substance inside both bodies. Now, in Miss Colt's case, it was untouched. A mixture of wild garlics and foxglove combined with feathers and a white powder that we're running some tests on.
Where was it? I asked, staring down at her face, the tiny purple marks around her lips and eyes, the result of them getting stitched shut.
Just below her heart. A blade was used, but it didn't kill them. We didn't find the entry wound until we removed the stitches that held her to the ground. That was the other strange thing.
The sudden change in Callum's voice drew my attention away from my study of Marcy's face.
Stranger than everything else? I asked.
He nodded and turned away. I watched as he dragged out another long table on wheels, a long white sheet draped over the top of it. He tugged the cover from it, revealing a solid piece of black...
Black what?
I stared at it a little harder, my eyes struggling to pick out exactly what I was looking at, but it was utterly unfamiliar.
What is it? I said, slowly approaching it. It's the section of ground Marcy was stitched to. The rest of the area consists of fresh grass and earth. This is different. From initial analysis, I want to say it's become obsidian, or at the very least, something very close to that.
Is that even possible? I asked, examining it a little closer, the urge to touch it washing over me in a wave that I fought with difficulty.
It shouldn't be, and yet you're looking at it,
Callum said, and for the first time ever, he actually sounded vaguely interested.
We should go and talk to Mr. Zek,
Victoria chipped in, breaking my study of the solid piece of black rock. I nodded, drawing back, my own face reflected back to me in the shiny black surface. What the hell was going on? The sooner I could read Zek's report on whatever it was that he removed from Marcy Colt, the better. At least then we would have some clue as to what exactly we were fighting. Fine, let's go. I turned away from the black rock and something niggled at me, a tremor running down the back of my neck, causing the fine hairs there to stand on end. It reminded me of the feeling I got whenever I was being watched, and I cast a look back over my shoulder. Something shimmered beneath the surface of the rock, something dark and powerful, and it was pissed as hell. And then, just as quickly as it had arrived, the feeling was gone, slithering away like it had never been there at all, and no matter how hard I stared at the flat, shining surface of the black rock, I couldn't see anything in it. I shuddered. Creepy didn't even begin to cover this case. Chapter 18. Crossing the hall, I paused outside the door where Callum had told us Zek was working. There was no sound from behind the door, and no matter how hard I tried, I still couldn't shake the feeling of uneasiness that had washed over me. The black stone beneath Marcy's body played on my mind. There was no way I'd imagined the thing I'd seen lurking inside it, but what that thing was? Well, I had no clue. I've never heard of it before, never mind come across it. Victoria took the lead, rapping on the glass door with her knuckles. There was a momentary pause, as though the world itself seemed to take a breath, and then a quiet voice called out.
Yes?
Victoria didn't wait for the man, presumably Mr. Zek, to say anything else. Instead, she pushed in the door and strode into the tiny, cramped office. The overwhelming smell of cheese and onion wafted through the air on the breeze created by the door, and I tried not to wrinkle my nose in disgust. Victoria held her hand out towards him, a gesture of greeting, but Zek simply stared at it as though it was an alien come to abduct him.
Mr. Zek, my name is Victoria Tellen, and this is Amber Morgan. We work with the Elite, Preternatural Investigations, and this is the case we've been assigned to. I was hoping you could give us a little insight into what you might have discovered during your examination and treatment of the victim.
Zek stood behind the desk and pressed his glasses back up his nose with his small, chubby hand.
I'm not sure what it is you expect me to tell you,
he said, the slight lisp in his voice making him seem even more pathetic than his food-stained, crooked tie and slightly yellowed shirt did.
You don't mind if I keep eating, do you? It's just moving the spirit on really took it out of me.
He gestured to his half-eaten sloppy cheese and onion sandwich, which seemed to be oozing across the papers on the desk. No, go ahead, I said. I didn't mind. It was something I'd come to notice in myself. The more power I used to accomplish something, the hungrier I was afterwards. Clearly, Zek was no different, even if his actual gift was more than a mystery to me. The other reason I didn't care if he finished his sandwich was I hoped if the smelly, oozing creation didn't exist anymore, the office would stop smelling like the inside of a biker's armpit. Not that I'd know what a biker's armpit actually smelled like. It was more of a hunch than actual knowledge. Can you tell us what sort of spirit it was? I asked, doing my best to look as neutral as possible as he scooped up the dripping sandwich and proceeded to cram it into his mouth. He shook his head, a combination of mayonnaise and something lumpy trickling down his chin as he chewed.
No, that's not what I do. I just open the door to the other side and move it back to where it belongs.
He spoke around the food in his mouth.
So how do you know where to send them?
Victoria asked. There was something in her tone of voice that suggested she knew more than she was willing to admit to. Zek shrugged and popped the last of his food into his mouth. The sound of his lip smacking and wet chewing filled the room as we waited for him to completely finish.
I don't, but everything goes through limbo, so that's where I send them.
But what if it's demonic, or...
He cut me off with a shake of his head.
I don't do demonic. That's the work of an exorcist. And luckily, my job doesn't fall into the description. I'm afraid I just deal in the much more mundane spirits,
he said, keeping his gaze averted. It seemed Victoria wasn't the only one keeping secrets. Zek definitely knew more than he was letting on, but there was no way for me to prove it. And how could I push him for information when I wasn't even sure what I was pushing him for?
Is there anything at all you can tell us? Victoria said, her sudden impatience catching me by surprise.
As I said, Miss Tellen, I don't know anything. All I did was move the spirit on.
And how did you do that?
The tension in the room intensified, and I folded my arms and leaned back against the doorframe. Whatever game was being played, there could be only one winner, and I was really hoping it would be Victoria. If she could get some information from Zek about what we were dealing with, it would make everything a hell of a lot easier.
My methods are my own, and as such are not up for debate. If I told you how I work, Miss Tellen, it would leave me at a very real risk of being undercut in this business. Suffice to say, everyone who needs to know how I work already knows.
I knew exactly who he meant. All of the consultants working for the elite had to pass a standard show-and-tell test. Once the powers that be acknowledged their gifts and signed off on them, they didn't have to explain it to anyone else. Zek had walked us straight into a dead end, and from the smug look on his face, he knew it.
Will that be all, officers? I have a lot of paperwork to finish up.
Victoria continued to stare at him, and the hairs across the back of my neck rose in response. Was she going to flip her shit and punch him? That's all for now, Mr. Zek, I said, touching Victoria's arm gently. She shuddered, her shoulders rolling back as she drank in a deep breath. She spun on her heel and stalked from the office, leaving me to smile awkwardly at Zek and hurry from the room after her. Catching up to her, I blocked the corridor, forcing her to pull up short or plow straight through me. What was all that about? I asked, folding my arms across my chest.
What was what?
That thing with Zek? Why were you so determined to unnerve him? All you did was make him clam up. We won't get anything from him now about his process.
We wouldn't have gotten anything anyway. He knows how to play the game a little too well.
Can we just get out of here? We're not going to get any more information from here. I nodded. She was right, of course. Until Zek and Callum released their reports, we weren't going to learn anything new. The only thing we could do now was go and get the press conference out of the way. Simply thinking about it was enough to send my stomach into knots, but it wasn't as though I had another choice. Chapter 19. My cell phone began to buzz as soon as I stepped out into the mid-morning sun, and I scooped it up out of my pocket, answering it without bothering to look at the screen. Yeah.
Amber?
Dex said, the familiar sound of his voice instantly causing my shoulders to relax a little. Standing in the lab with all the bodies in their little metal drawers gave me the heebie-jeebies. It wasn't a particularly cool thing to admit, especially considering the cases I investigated, but cool wasn't exactly what I was aiming for. I'd settle for simply staying alive, and in my line of work, hanging around the dead was never a good idea. Hey, what's up?
I heard about what happened last night. How are you?
There was a concern to his voice that I wasn't expecting, and it knocked me completely off guard. I'm fine. How did you hear?
News of rogues has a way of spreading like wildfire down here at the precinct. Listen, they're making us do a press conference, and I saw your name on the list. I was just calling to warn you,
he said. Yeah, I'd heard, I said, pausing awkwardly.
Listen, can we talk? I feel responsible after what happened yesterday, and I want to help. I want to try and make this right, Amber. I won't ever be able to take back what happened with Graham, but...
He trailed off, but there was no mistaking the guilt in his voice. I knew what it was like to feel that. It sucked ass. At least in my situation, the guilt I felt was justified. Dex had acted foolishly, allowing his ego to get in his way, but I also couldn't blame him for it. It was a human reaction, and one many of us had. You really don't need to, I started.
No, I do, and don't try and make me feel better, Amber. I know I screwed up. Please let me help. This is all new to me, and I'm pretty certain I'll keep screwing up if you don't at least set me on the right path.
Fine. I'll see you at the press conference. We can discuss it then, I said, cutting the conversation short. The curious glances Victoria was giving me set me on edge. The last thing I wanted to do was give her any sort of ammunition against me, and knowing the details of yesterday's debacle was something she was better off never finding out. I hung up before Dex had the opportunity to say anything else.
Who was that?
One of the cops who got the case initially, I answered, keeping my tone as noncommittal as I could manage.
John sent through the details of the conference. We won't have time to speak to the families of the victims beforehand.
I nodded. Who's leading it?
John, of course, she said, shooting me a curious glance.
Well, then let's get it over with. All it's doing is holding us up from doing our job. She didn't argue with me, but I could see the smirk hovering around the corners of her mouth as she turned and headed to get the car. The thought of getting Dex involved any further in the case than he already was didn't thrill me. He was a cop. His life was all about stopping the human and mundane. It was a necessary job and one that had its own risks, but the world of the elite was different. The things we hunted were more than capable of turning the tables on us, and Dex was the type who still believed he could save everyone. I'd given up on that belief a long time ago. Or at least that was what I told myself when things got tough. Climbing out of the car across the road from the courthouse, I stared up at the building and tried to stop my heart from sinking into my boots. There were so many better things I could be out there doing. Trying to placate people by telling them that the shit hadn't really hit the fan when it so obviously had wasn't really my strong suit. Neither was standing in front of the press while they snapped pictures and asked questions that they hoped would evoke the most emotion. If they continued to ask about Graham, then I was bound to slip up at some point. Control of my emotions wasn't an area of expertise. Power prickled along the back of my neck and across the place where I knew the demon mark sat, causing my heart to stutter in my chest. Get a grip, Amber! The voice in the back of my head piped up. It was right, of course. If I lost control of my power in front of the cameras, then I was really in trouble. Planting my hands against the metal hood of the car, I fought to push the magic back to where it had come from. It was a technique I'd watched my mother use on more than one occasion. Of course, I'd watched her bury her hands in the ground. She'd call it earthing. I didn't have that luxury. If Victoria caught me trying to dig a hole in the sidewalk, she was going to have questions that I really didn't want to answer.
You okay?
Speak of the devil.
Heat flooded into my face with the effort it took to get my power back to a manageable level. I'm fine, just a little dizzy. I haven't eaten. It wasn't a lie. And then it clicked into place. I hadn't eaten, and magic, like most things, was connected to the balance of the body. Throw one out of whack, and the other ended up screwballed.
Here, have this, Victoria said, reaching around me to drop an energy bar on the hood of the car. I've got a blood sugar thing, too. If I don't eat every few hours to keep it steady, I'm prone to passing out. You have no idea how much grief that caused me when I first started working for the elite.
Thanks, I said, grabbing the bar and ripping the wrapper off it. The first bite of the chocolate and caramel-covered oats melted across my tongue, bringing me far more pleasure than it had any right to do. I focused in on the action of simply chewing, each bite I took making it easier for me to push my power back where it belonged, until I finally started to feel human once more. Turning away from the car, I smiled at Victoria, and she shot me a curious look as she stepped towards me.
It's so weird. Your eyes are...
She trailed off, her curiosity fading away as she shrugged.
It must have been the light.
What?
Your eyes, they were weird, like really blue. Unnaturally blue.
Her words sent a bolt of fear straight through my core, and I crushed the wrapper in my grip. How was I supposed to keep my power a secret if I couldn't even control my physical reaction with it?
People say that a lot, I said as nonchalantly as I could.
I crossed the street under the pretense of dumping the wrapper, but it was really to ensure my power was once more controlled. Why hadn't it caused me this many problems before? Surely if I was a shadow sorceress, no amount of trying to hide it would keep it suppressed. It just didn't make any sense why it was choosing now to spin so utterly out of control.
You ready to go in?
Victoria asked, making me jump as I turned and practically slammed into her. She was standing close enough that I could make out the flecks of hazel in her brown eyes.
As I'll ever be, I said, with as much enthusiasm as I could muster, which, if I was honest with myself, wasn't a whole lot.
Chapter 20. Standing in the courthouse's foyer, Victoria nudged me.
I think someone is trying to get your attention, she said, inclining her head towards the opposite side of the room.
I peered across the space and spotted Dex with his arm raised in the air as he crossed through the crowds of people milling around in the space. Reaching our side of the room, he moved faster, pushing past the people paused in conversation.
Do you know where this is happening?
He asked, reaching our location. I kept my expression neutral as I caught him eyeing Victoria carefully, his stare a cross between curiosity and wariness. There's a conference room down the hall. I'm guessing it'll go down in there, but I'm really in no hurry to find out. In fact, if I accidentally missed it, well, I wouldn't exactly lose any sleep over that, I said with a grimace.
I take it you're not a fan of these things?
He said with a wide smile. Whatever gave you that impression? I replied, softening my words with a wide smile. Dex, this is Victoria Tellen. She just transferred in from the New York Elite office. Dex's eyebrows lifted in surprise, and I could tell he was impressed. Hell, if I cared to admit it to myself, I was impressed too. Working in King City was proving complicated enough. I couldn't imagine how much harder it would be working in a city as expansive as New York. Victoria, this is Dexter Gray, Victoria said, finishing my sentence before I even had the opportunity to get it started. Glancing over at her in surprise, she shrugged, and her expression was predatory as she took Dex in, her eyes raking over him as though she was undressing him then and there in the middle of the crowded hall.
I know who he is. Word tends to spread about talented detectives, she said, but I had a feeling there was something she was leaving out of that sentence.
Shifting uncomfortably, I watched them eye each other, and I fought the urge to grab the fire extinguisher and use it on them both. If they weren't careful, the smoldering glances they were sharing were going to create another case for me to investigate, and spontaneous human combustion really wasn't as much fun as most people thought it might be.
I didn't know I was on anyone's radar,
Dex said, holding his hand out towards her. Victoria took it, and I half expected her to jerk him in towards her. From what I could see, she was a man-eater, and if Dex wasn't careful, he was next on her menu.
Most people don't know until it's too late,
she said, her voice dropping to a husky whisper. Rolling my eyes, I stalked down the hall towards the conference room. There was no way I was going to hang around watching them make moon eyes at each other. Crossing the hall, something caught my eye, and I paused. The man standing next to the wall near the exit looked familiar, but I couldn't put my finger on why. From the state of his ripped and dirty clothes, he had to be involved in one of the court cases, but that didn't make sense. The people passing in and out through the halls and rooms were all well-dressed and presented. It was sort of the unwritten rule of court. No matter how crazy or murderous you might be, you didn't turn up to face the judge and jury in the blood-stained clothes of whatever poor soul you'd ripped apart. In fact, it was always the crazy murderous ones that dressed the best. You could practically pick them out as they pranced through the halls like they owned the joint. He stood and watched the people who passed, his gray eyes taking in everything and nothing at the same time. I was about to take a step towards him when Dex's hand closed around my arm.
We need to talk,
he said. Oh, so you decided to drag yourself away from Victoria, did you? I asked teasingly.
You're not jealous, are you?
I stared at him. There was something so honest and curious about his question that it took me by surprise, and I opened my mouth, a nervous laugh bubbling forth. Why would I be? Dex flinched as though I'd actually slapped him, and I instantly regretted my reaction. But his face became cold and closed, the hold he had on my arm releasing as though I'd burned him.
Right. Can we talk?
I nodded, not trusting myself to open my mouth once more. Every time I did, all it seemed to do was get me into trouble. Following him into one of the small interview rooms off the main hall, I watched him pace back and forth.
My captain is looking for someone to blame for this entire mess,
Dex said, finally coming to a halt in front of me. Well, I know one person he can blame, I said beneath my breath as I thought of John.
He says I have to hang it on the elite. If I don't, that's the end of my career.
My mouth dropped open and I stared at him. Was my brain being deliberately slow or had I just misheard him? If I hadn't, then I really didn't want to hear the rest of what he had to say.
I love being a cop, Amber. I can't lose it.
He trailed off, watching my face. For what, I wasn't sure. All I knew for certain was that I wouldn't make this easy for him. Whatever he had to say, he could say it.
He wanted names and...
He cut off again and dropped his gaze to the floor. So what, you gave him mine? I said, anger causing me to ball my hands into fists.
Well, you're the rookie in the elite, and I could hardly put this on Graham with him in the hospital and everything.
What has me being a new elite member got to do with any of this? You and I both know who screwed everything up. I tried to help you. I tried to stop all of this, and now you want to hang me out to dry in front of the press?
They like you. It won't be that bad. If the cops take responsibility, then it's just another nail in our coffin. The public don't like us. We're not superheroes the way you guys are. Amber, you know this.
I don't care what I know, Dex. I'm not taking the fall for your mistakes. If you'd just listened in the first place...
And that's something I'll just have to live with,
he said, pushing his hand back through his hair.
Don't make this harder than it has to be,
he said, his petulant tone surprising me. I'm making it harder? I really don't think so. I think what's eating you up is knowing that you're planning on selling me down the river for something I didn't do.
And I didn't do it either. What did you expect me to do, Amber? Just hand the case back?